left in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, good afternoon. Karen Cataline with you live on WSMN 1590 AM 95.3 FM. And yes, we are into January. Boy, have I seen a lot of people who are nervous. There's nothing worse than feeling like a sitting duck and wondering what people who have shown hostility towards you are going to do to you next. Now, I'm not given to feeling like a victim. I don't like feeling like a victim. And I think that there's usually always things we can do. But when you see a pattern of the same behavior over and over again, of a government that is not only out of control, but which seems to have hostility for its citizens, like, you know, all bets are off. So that's what I see. I was of two minds this morning, today, as to whether I should go the direction of the ugly predictions for 2023 that some news outlets have put out, usually the unconventional alternative news. And that leads me to what I really want to talk about, which is the lockstep propaganda media that always seems to get memos as to what word to use. Every word is planned and orchestrated for our ready to swallow, okay? And we've proven this in the past. It's been a long time where there's been proof that people are on email lists in which they're pretty much told what is. It's not the talking heads you see. It's usually the people directing those talking heads. They aren't journalists anymore. They literally are just mouthpieces for propaganda. Well, what has been the current word that everybody uses? I fully expect to see 2 and 3 minute montages of every news outlet in the so-called legacy media, the propaganda media, using this word as if it's all groupthink. It is all packaged for our consumption. And that word right now is chaos. It's chaos out there, I tell you. Those Republicans, if they would just get their act together. It is unbelievable to me that not only are they all marching in goose step together, but the message is designed for yours and my consumption, as I said, in order to decide that any kind of disorganized liberty is infinitely worse than organized tyranny. You hear that? So chaos is the way that they tell you the Republicans are incompetent, they don't know what they're doing, because we've been used to the radical left marching completely in lockstep as if all is well in the universe, and just simple obedience to the accepted narrative, and we'll have peace. That's the message, is it not? Isn't that the message? Just do as we say. Just accept the leaders we tell you, and they're not really in control either, but they've been approved by us, and if you just buckle under, obey, comply, give in, all of the rest, all will be well. What do you think about this hoopla in the speaker's race? We spend 2 years in candidacies and rough elections, and they can't handle 3 days of debate and discussion and dissent. The message has been again and again by these true communists in our government that dissent is bad, obedience is good. So disorganized liberty is bad, because that's what it is. When you can accept, tolerate differences of opinion, when you do not resort or stoop, which is what the politicians in Washington, some of them owned by the left on the right, on with an R after their name, some of them stoop to demonizing, personally attacking, and claiming that they are dangerous because they have a difference of opinion. Dissent is absolutely necessary to a free society. And what is, after all, communism, socialism, globalism, and tyranny? It is the absence of not only dissent, it is the absence of independence of thought, it is the absence of individuality, it is the absence of the individual altogether. That is really what is behind lumping us all together into groups based on characteristics that are at best superficial and at worst reduce us all to two-dimensional human beings. The respect, the love for the individual is part of what our founders were all about. They knew that if each and every unique individual could live in a country where their individuality, their freedom of thought, their freedom to imagine and innovate and create and be different, that America could prosper. Now, how do you know the radical left is lying? I'll tell you how. Because not so long ago, the left agreed with all of that. Not so very long ago, it was the left that led the charge on being different, on marching to your own drummer, on individuality, on not believing the man, the authority, in rebelling, in speaking out, in protest. All of those things the left used to relish, elevate, love. They loved it. Now, suddenly, as you heard in my not so elegant conversation with the wonderful Aura Nadrich on Tuesday, I will be posting that show on my website, as well as many others as I can in the archives, is that the radical left, and they're not alone, has fallen in to exactly the opposite of what they have claimed all along that they were for. They were for freedom of speech. They were for freedom of dissent. I have played many times the screeching speech of Hillary Clinton during the Bush, the W. Bush years, in which she was screaming at the top of her lungs that we have a right to dissent with any administration. I'll never forget it, because she is not, speaking of not eloquent or elegant, that is a woman who's not very eloquent, like I'm not being right now. So they changed their principles on a whim. I asked Dora, among other things, how is it possible for people who started, this seems petty, but it isn't petty at all. They're the ones that started Do Not Litter. Bette Midler, radical leftist, extreme, insane, red-eyed leftist, used to go out and clean trash on the side of highways because she wanted to beautify America, right? Keep America beautiful. Don't litter. But if you poop on the street, if you have tent cities all over your town, if you've got homeless and drug deals all over, and you allow criminals to run the streets, that's okay. That's how we know they have no credibility. And, you know, most people know this. They see what's being pushed down their throat, but they refuse to stand up and say anything about it. We really must start saying something about it and speaking up and defying this tyranny wherever we find it. Even if it doesn't agree with me, I would not engage in banning people with whom I disagree or people who I can't stand what they think. But they somehow, the leftists and the leftist ideology and the soft leftists who go along to get along, but who really don't agree, they just don't have the courage and the guts and the intestinal fortitude to stand up, they require everyone to agree. So that's how you know something's up, something's not right. So I was also fascinated by who has jumped on the bandwagon of demonizing dissent. Now, I like most of the people I know, they don't watch Sean Hannity anymore. And boy, was I enlightened when I watched an interview, and I don't have the sound, I apologize. An interview with Mike Lindell, who is one of our advertisers from MyPillow, when he was interviewed about whether Sean Hannity was his best buddy. And Mike Lindell said the most interesting thing. He said, Sean Hannity told him he had to shut up about election fraud or they were going to come after him. And Mike Lindell said, how come you don't speak up about all these things? I'm paraphrasing. He said, because he's basically telling Mike Lindell to shut up. Mike Lindell, right? You know? Shut up because someone will come after you if you speak up. Sean Hannity said, well, it's okay. At least I have a show. And Lindell said, no, not really when you're putting out misinformation. I could say more, but I gotta go. Karen Cataline will have a great guest when we come back. You're listening to Spouting Off. Don't go away.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at karencataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. It's a Thursday. There's one more episode this week of Spouting Off tomorrow, 1 p.m., same time as always, 1 p.m. Eastern. You're always welcome to tune in live and call in, especially in the first segment. But we love having interaction and discussion. I am delighted to welcome our first guest this hour. And true to my soft spot in my heart for people who defy the stereotype of thinking that because they belong to a particular group, they are required to think a certain way. On the line with me now is Chadwick Bicknell. He happens to be a gay conservative who came to the conclusion early on that the Democratic Party and the left's claims that they were the only option for people like him was false. As a result, he joined the walkaway movement, which you may know, Brandon Strzok, I think is his name. I've had him on before. And he hopes that his book, a fictional retelling of his own walkaway moment, can inspire others. His book is called An American Carol. Chad Bicknell, welcome to Spouting Off. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it is great to have you. So I am always fascinated by that very moment. Well, let me back up. Were you a liberal at any time or not?
Yeah, I was. When I was a teenager, kind of realizing about my sexuality and everything, I was under the delusion of, hey, only we Democrats care about you. The Republicans will crucify you if they, find out. So going into college, that was my mindset as well. As I hung out with people in my demographic and some of the things they talked about, I was just like, it seems a bit weird because my parents are conservative. So they raised me to respect the Founding Fathers' vision. And, my perspective, the Founding Fathers' vision was always being objective. And some of the things I would hear from, my friends at the time was not kosher. they were wanting to bend the will of other people. And I'm just like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah. You know what, Chad? Years ago, I gave a speech to the log cabin Republicans, gay Republicans. And a young man said to me something I have never forgotten. And it was a long time ago. He said, I have gotten more hatred from other gay people for being a Republican than I ever got from Republicans for being gay. And I thought that was about true, and I've seen a lot of people say that. Question for you though, that very moment in which you said this isn't for me, or you shifted. I've often thought if we could just bottle that, it would be great. So what was that moment for you? Go into as much detail as you'd like.
So when I was in college, I had two sets of friends, you know, my fellow gay friends in the gay community and allies. And then on the opposite spectrum, I had friends who were in a college ministry, campus outreach, great group of people. And they didn't really talk politics, but, you know, they were Christian, so their mindset was different. But they knew that I was gay. They didn't care. But I was hanging out with them just as much as I was hanging out with my other friends. My other friends didn't like that. They didn't like I was hanging out with these Christian people. So they actually came to me as a group and was like, hey, you have a choice. You can either be friends with us or you can be friends with them. You can't have both ways.
Wow. And, that sounds like Mean Girls.
Right. And I am one of the worst people in the world to give an ultimatum to. I do not respond well to it. So I was like, okay, all right, well, see you guys. It's been great. And they were shocked. They didn't think I was going to do that.
Social pressure didn't work on you, huh, Chad?
No, it doesn't.
Guess not. Good for you. And then what? And then what happened?
So, you know, after that, I for the rest of my time in college, I hung out with them. And, when I was out of college and I got back home with my family, this was right at 2014. So we had just won the midterms. The Republicans had just won the midterms. And they're like, cool. Everything's going to get fixed that Obama kind of ruined. Well, then over the next 2 years going up to 2016, notice the Republicans didn't do anything, and they were like, well, it's because Obama's still president. Like, okay, fair enough. And then we give them Trump, give them the House, give them the Senate, and they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything.
Nothing.
So then I decided to run for Congress in 2018. I did not win. I was challenged Congressman Blaine Lukemeyer, and very wealthy man. Really did nothing for my district at the time. He's no longer in charge of my district. He gets a redistricting. But, you know, he didn't do anything. And he didn't really hold the true values of a Republican because he, all those, you know, funding bills, he always said he was pro-life.
He always voted for them.
Yeah. And those funded Planned Parenthood. And when I called him out on that, his argument was, well, it's illegal for them to use our funds for abortions. Like, okay, fair enough. But once they have the money, why do they care? You know, they have the money now. You're not going to audit them. So, you
kind
know,
kind of like
I
the fox guarding the chicken house, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, so now mostly just I try to be a political thorn in the side. And while I was working at a company, I don't want to say which, in case I ever decide to go back. I was working on my book, An American Carol, and I was like, A Christmas Carol is always a great story. And I'm like, I can use that and apply it to what happened with me. And so I wrote it. Yeah.
Well, that's a perfect segue to tell us a little more about what An American Carol is all about. And then I have another question for you.
All right, cool. Yeah. So An American Carol, the main character, his name is Alex. He is a gay progressive, 100%, like AOC level. You know, he hates America, wants to see it burn kind of thing. Got protests set up for the 4th of July, you know, the epitome of American pride. And the ghost of his dead best friend visits him on the night of the 2nd. And, you know, she warns him, hey, three ghosts are coming because you've got to change your ways. And, you know, he argues back with her. What are you talking about? You know, why are you like this? You did so many things for our people. And she claps back, all people should have been my people. And, you know, that goes into the next day. He meets the first ghost of America's past, none other than George Washington, who shows him everything that made him love, you know, 4th of July and love America.
Wow.
And, you know, they talk, they have a back and forth. And one of the things, Alex, you know, he's like, well, I'm guessing you don't agree with my politics. And Washington responds, no, but that's not the point. The point is, and what we wanted for all of America, is that you would all come together and choose what's best for you going forward, and that you would not be in political parties. I think it was George Washington's final address. He said that parties would be the downfall of our country.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's wrong. I mean, we have two parties in charge of everything.
Well, we have one party in charge of everything, I might say, but it truly is a uniparty. Before we, this is what we usually do at the end of the interview, but where do people get this book of yours, An American Carol? Sounds very interesting.
So right now it's on sale and on Amazon.com. Just type in An American Carol. You'll have to probably type in An American Carol book. Otherwise, a movie that was made years ago will pop up. But you can also find the link for it on DefiancePress.com.
Yes.
And you can buy it, or you can go to my Facebook page. It's just An American Carol. It has the cover of my book on it, which has the
ghost of... Is your Facebook page An American Carol? What is your Facebook page?
Yep. It's just An American Carol.
That's great. Well, so here's the question you probably get a lot, but I got to ask it. I'll ask it in my own way, though. Apropos of the concept that the left eventually eats its own, we are seeing feminism get co-opted by the radical left agenda. You know, they used to be for women's sports. Now they're destroying it. And they claim to be champions of the LGBT, but now the T has taken over to such an degree, a fraction of a percent, and we are being told that mastectomies for 9-year-olds is a really good idea, and there are people who are transgender when they're 5, and maiming people with surgeries and whatnot. Talk from your perspective about that, because obviously you must have some opinions about it.
So, yeah, that's the thing. After the Supreme Court made their ruling on gay marriage, it was no longer the thing to be gay. It was no longer the in thing, you know? It was like it was a fad that was over, like bright colors in the 80s. It was gone. Now it's all about transgender, because I'll be honest, the Democrat Party never wanted gay marriage to be passed. I guarantee you they were absolutely terrified the Supreme Court made that decision, because they lost a talking point. And not to get off on a tangent, but going to what you were saying, everything is getting co-opted. And I don't think it's right that you have parents who are like, oh, my child is transgender. They said they were. Like, yeah, and if you ask a child if they're a god at age 5, guess what? They're going to say yes, okay?
You know, it's not the parents doing it. It's teachers, many of them, teaching little kids that there is no such thing as boy and there is no such thing as girl, which is the same as planting the seeds of gender dysphoria in little kids. It is diabolical. What about drag queen story hour? What about that pornography on shelves and claiming that you're a book burner if you don't want pornography on grade school shelves? Do you speak out about that? I hope.
Yeah, no. You know, listen, I've been to drag shows. I have, you know.
But you're an adult.
Right.
You're an adult. Go ahead.
Because a lot of times one of the common defenses I've heard from people is, oh, well, you're just making them sexual. And I'm like, listen, I've been to many, and they are all sexual. I've never seen a drag show that isn't.
When I was in the theater, I went to such shows, and they are for adults. It's like saying, okay, now kids can go into casinos, and they can go into nude shows in Las Vegas. I mean, is all of that passé now? Is the movie ratings for, sex and violence and pornography and X-rated movies, is that all passé now? This is
right.
An attack on the country writ large, regardless of your ideology. And parents are stepping up and fighting back. What do you think about the fact that when parents don't want pornography on their kids' school libraries, they're being called domestic terrorists? Really?
Yeah, no, it's not right. You know, a library for kids in school, it should fit their grade level. You shouldn't have anything that's adult themed inside of school. period.
Yeah. One last question, and then we'll tell everybody about your book one more time. And I just really appreciate that you think for yourself. You're not marching in lockstep or in goose step to whatever anybody tells you. You have your own ideas, your own thoughts, and you're allowed to disagree with anybody. So were you for gay marriage?
I was, you know, because obviously I wanted to be married. But I also saw the dangers of where it could lead. And, you know, some of those dangers have come true with the sudden takeover of the left, of, you know, the LGBT community and how far it's gone.
Have you found people in your community that are unhappy with the direction it's going? Because that's what I've heard.
Yeah, many who are not as politically inclined. They're just like, what is this? You know, because it's crazy. Others, unfortunately, their identity is only in that. And without it, they don't know who they are. And
yeah,
that's something
that's
that I learned from a lot of the Christian people that I hung out with in college is, if you try and find your identity in something, you're going to lose yourself. You will never be complete.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
That is so well put.
Become that.
Yeah. And the culture is elevating that idea that you are one thing. You are the color of your skin. You are, however, you know, your sexual orientation, you are that. And therefore, I mean, many politicians have come forward and said that we don't need you if you don't think like us. Actually, you experienced it personally. I really cheer for you that you've come forward and said, guess what? It's okay to think for yourself. That is so important. So once again, Chadwick Bicknell, B-I-C-K-N-E-L-L. Your book is An American Carol. Sounds very fascinating. We hope you get a website too, if you are inclined to do so. Any final thought? Got about 20 seconds. No, less than.
Well,
I'm sorry. Yeah,
My final thought is, the moral of my story is there's nothing inherently evil about your beliefs and ambitions. It's just how far you're willing to go with those ambitions that make them evil.
Okay. Chad Bicknell, thank you so much for joining us. We so appreciate having you. Take care. Happy New Year.
You as well.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, well, I'll tell you when I get back. I don't have the time. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
I was asking God through prayer, seeking a good news source. I believe he showed me the Epoch Times. I deliver the mail and came across an issue. The front page intrigued me and I subscribed. Now I cut out articles and give them to friends and family. I leave old issues at the library and around my community. We read it to our kids and love the positive messages in each article. So why do I think everyone should read the Epoch Times? Because they're bringing back traditional values to this great country.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police and the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today, when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
Karen Cataline puts the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. Now back to Spouting Off.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. Karen Cataline joining you, with you as host, not joining you, but joining us for at least a little while. We don't have him for the whole segment here, is Adam Weiss. He is the CEO of AMWPR, a New York-based political strategy and communications firm. His firm worked with Jim Brown, Judge Jeanine Pirro, and more. And thank you for joining us for whatever time you can. Just let us know when you have to go. Adam Weiss, thanks.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you, too. I'm going to just let you talk about what is going on. I'll just say up front that calling this chaos about the election of the speaker is preposterous. This is called democracy. This is called what a free country does. We spend 2 years deciding on a president, but we can't spend 5 days to watch, a free country trying to decide on a speaker of the House. What are your thoughts about this? Because I know you have plenty.
You know, my thoughts and an analysis here, if it was the other side, like if the Democrats did exactly like this, the squad, they'd be championed in the media throughout as, you know, mavericks and freedom fighters and democracy at its best. And we get a lesson in democracy and the history of Congress. And this is not a big deal that we get things right in Congress. But we know from the history of media, and there's so much media out there, we don't get the same treatment. So this is broadcast, and this is showcases chaos, right wingers, obstructionists. So, based on that, it's hard for us to say, yes, keep doing what you're doing, Matt Gaetz and crew, because we like what you're doing as freedom fighters and creating democracy. And it's good that we do, but it's difficult when we get such a beating from the media. And
may I push back on that a little bit?
Yeah.
You're going to get a beating from the media if you ran Mother Teresa. And like you, I'm an MOT. So if you ran Abraham Lincoln himself, you would get a beating from the media. So can you really decide on your policy based on that? I am cheering these people on because the country is at stake, isn't it?
Look what they did to our candidates this time. We had a guy... an NFL legend, was a celebrity, was one of the greatest players of all time. What'd they turn him to? A character of a abortion-feeding, wife-beating character, a celebrity doctor from New Jersey who was a celebrity, who was loved by culture, loved by Hollywood. They turned him into. So you're right. No matter what we put up, no matter who we do, they turn
down
all our candidates into characters.
Yeah. You're never going to get positive press from these guys unless you've sold yourself out to them. I hope you're not advocating that they give up because of that, are you?
No, I just want to, I want to come together and figure this out quickly because we don't need to give them more and more excuses to pounding our side when that we get them every day as it is. But if we keep compounding this excuse over and over again, 7-try, 9-try, and that's the news cycle, right? It's going to just be the nonstop
all right
news cycle,
well,
and we're going to lose a little, and we're going to lose we're only going to win these battles a little bit in the middle. And we can have principles, and we can have our ideology based, doing it in a softer, easier way, which we have to do.
We'll have to agree to disagree. Because when you've got communists running our country, seeing citizens as the enemy, I think it's gone a little too far to play defense, to use a football analogy. It bothers me that, consultants want us to play defense. You're not going to get any brownie points for giving in to the left. Let me ask you another question here real quick. And that is, a lot of people ask me, and I have to say, I have to admit, I'm not the most knowledgeable on the procedural aspects of this. How is it possible that the Democrat, what's his name again? Hakeem Jeffries. How is it even possible that he could rise to be Speaker of the House? Under what scenario would that happen? Is it when the Republicans make deals with the Democrats?
I think you just have to pass the threshold, right? So what's the number? 218 is the number? So you have to actually get one more than the other side. It doesn't mean if seven... I don't know if there's any moderate Democrats left, but if, you know, some moderate, if moderate Republicans, which we know we always have a ton of them, you know, they'll sell our soul. Why is it always our side that sells our souls out, right? They never do
on the left.
They never do on the left. They never do.
Very good question.
It doesn't matter if they're criminals. It doesn't matter if they lie. It doesn't matter if they cheat. They stick together. You know, I can go back to the days of Clinton. It didn't matter what he did.
No, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter if he was having sex in the Oval Office under the table. Somehow they figure out a way to defend their own. We throw our people under the bus in 2 seconds every time. Yeah. It's just amazing.
But what about people like Mitch McConnell and these Republicans who we handed them everything they wanted in the first 2 years of Trump, and they did, as my last guest pointed out, nothing. They were secretly against Trump and his agenda.
It really is a swamp, Karen. It's such a swamp. I went there Monday. I flew in from Miami. I went to Washington. Yeah. Now I'm in New York. Now I'm actually in New Jersey for a meeting. But I flew into Washington right for Tuesday for some swearing ins, and I ended up not being able to see the Congress that I wanted to see because they're stuck on the floor for so many voting. You walk into this building, and it's a disaster. It's nice from the outside because it's historic. The rugs are a mess. The desks are terrible. The walls are a mess. It's the ugliest building you've ever seen. We're giving $45 billion to Ukraine. We can't fix our own U.S. United States Congress. It's a disaster. Yeah. Quick story how this is a swamp. I said to the local congressman I'm visiting, and this is kind of a microcosm. I meet the chief of staff. This guy won the district on Long Island, one of the districts Long Island, New York. So the chief of staff, I said, what are you So you're from Long Island? She says, no, I was a former chief of staff for so-and-so from Texas. So this is the new chief of staff for the Long Island. I meet the communications director. I said, are you from Long Island? No, I'm former communications director for so-and-so in Virginia. And I said, wait, this guy just said to myself, this guy just won a Long Island seat. Wouldn't you hire people locally, your grassroots people that won you that seat? You're new in Congress. He hired the swamp. You see, they trade up. So he went to Washington. It's his first day. And instead of hiring the people that supported him locally, he goes and hires the swamp. So that's a little what the swamp really is. They just trade up. They get the position. They stay there.
It's Faust. So, they hand you whatever they think you want to do, whatever they want you to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how it is. So you're a consultant with a bunch of people. Tell us real quick about AMWPR, what you do and how you're trying to make a difference in this ocean of deceit and propaganda that we're
communications,
watching.
I'm a PR, public relations, what they call communication strategist, different sectors from, you know, military defense companies to, you know, technology companies, and I've got my teeth wet in politics when I was really young, 20s, early 20s.
I can hear that New York accent, though. You're from New York, aren't you?
I had a group of young conservatives in Long Island. So, you know, I stretched it out, and now I do communications with people running for Congress, think tanks, you know, former administration officials, and we help them get into the news, different news cycles, and get them into whether it's Fox or Newsmax or, you know, it depends on the client. You know, every client's different, so some could be taken on mainstream media, some can't. It depends what it is. And because the media is so one-sided, each side this day, so you have to calculate where you can pitch somebody. You know?
Do you have a comment on what's going on with Sean Hannity going after Lauren Boebert as if she's the enemy? I mean, when people say come together, they only mean let the grassroots people knuckle under and obey to us. The other side, they do to grassrootsers what the Democrats do to Republicans.
I was lucky enough to visit Tucker last week or 2 weeks ago in Florida. He has his seasonal with a client, and he has his seasonal studio there and his living condition. And he seems to be one of the only like true maverick. Seems like Sean was a maverick, and Sean was such an independent years ago, but he seems like he's become more and more of a swamp creature for some reason. You know,
Hannity has shifted.
It's not that great if it's a stale show. He kind of shows the same people over and over again.
He doesn't even take new guests. But here was the kicker. Go ahead.
The point was, I posted a photo and a story on Instagram of Tucker. Never got so many comments, way more than I've ever done with when I posted with President Trump. Women were like flooding my inbox. I love him. And then my response would be, which guy? I said,
you or Tucker Carlson.
Right. And they usually answer correctly. They say both of you.
Well, you certainly have, you're in kind of the lion's den here as far as PR. You have any comment also on the lockstep nature? It's as if every news outlet gets memos. We know some of them do. They say, okay, you got to use the word chaos, chaos, chaos. It's chaos out there. This is propaganda.
I don't know where the central command comes from, but you're so on it, spot on. It's like when an incident happens, they all have the same exact talking points. They're all rooted from the same ones, but they all follow the. It's pretty simple. It's like the AP will put out a story, right? And they all get, so the TV stations, they all apply and they have a subscription to the AP. So the AP is like the main hub of news, of articles throughout the country. So they all get the AP, and that's where they'll run their news TV stories from. The AP is very biased, very to the left, or the New York Times. So they'll just kind of like, they're lazy TV producers. So they'll copy that kind of verbiage. So that's kind of like when you see TV stations saying the same exact thing. Where are they getting it from? They're getting from the AP or the New York Times, and it's the same jumbo language that it's always catered to the left. And that's why the mainstream media always sounds the same and always the same talking points. They're getting it from the left-wing larger papers. They follow the New York Times in the morning. They follow the AP in the morning. They'll follow the Washington Post.
And the news directors tell their talking heads what to say. Used to be the talking heads were actual news guys who understood news. Now they just read the news.
That's why Carrie Lake, she says, wow, this is crazy. I can't do these talking points anymore about COVID and lockdowns. I got to get out of here. So.
Yeah. Boy, wasn't she marvelous when she called the media to task. We'll keep watching that.
She was great. I don't know how she won. She was probably robbed, but, you know, it's unbelievable. She really built up a movement. She was Trump with high heels and a little bit softer, I think, when she should have been the governor.
Well, and we're going to keep watching that. Keep up the great work. Where can people find you, follow
I'm
you?
At Adam Matthew on Twitter. Our website's amwpr.com. Anyone wants to come and call us and give a consultant? My number is 917-863-1. Adam@AMWPR. That's better. Adam@AMWPR.
All right, you don't want to get your number out online. That would probably not be good. But say it one more time.
I'm going back in a meeting. Adam@AMWPR.com. Thank you.
Okay. Adam Weiss, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We so appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, that I have a couple of minutes. Yeah, I got only a couple of minutes because he had to go early. It's so funny. Our producer was waxing philosophic about Hannity, too. You want to come on the air, Art? And Hannity? Do you watch Hannity regularly? What do you think's been going on with Sean Hannity?
Oh, goodness. I haven't really been keeping up with Hannity. I would see posts by Fox News on YouTube, and that's generally where I would get it from. Mostly I'm a Tucker viewer. But I am really shocked, actually, to think that Hannity could even possibly be a sellout. Or to say to Mike Lindell that, you know, better keep your yap shut or they're coming after you. It doesn't make any sense, honestly.
Yeah, you know what, what I didn't have time to, I'll just finish this story real quick. The video that I saw had Mike Lindell saying that he's not so friendly with Sean Hannity anymore. And when Mike Lindell said, we don't need you putting out misinformation or ignoring Hannity ignores certain stories. Like, I mean, I don't watch him, so, but he ignores certain stories that the media and the radical left have said are not okay for you to disagree with, be it January 6th, be it COVID and the massive amount of lies and fraud that was pushed down people's throats. Now he's pushing Kevin McCarthy and demonizing Lauren Boebert and others. And what he said was, well, at least I'm on the air. And you know what Lindell said? No. Maybe it would be better if you weren't. How about that?
I think perhaps Mike is onto something there.
Well, and that's the thing. What I thought about was, here's a guy who sold himself out, finding a way to justify compromising his principles in order to stay on the air for his little piece of the pie. Thanks, Art, for coming on.
You're welcome.
It looks like I gotta go. I love having Art who comes on every now and then. So we will see you tomorrow, Friday. Go to my website, KarenCataline.com, and join us tomorrow, Friday, on WSMN.live. For more Spouting Off at 1 p.m. Eastern. Have a great afternoon.